With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Calling this the slowest sports day of the year. I think that's a lie. Astros got the national stage. We're 2 weeks away from training camp. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain here on a special day with some national news yesterday that he had an inclination about for months right here on Sports Radio 610. Before we hear from John McClain, we're throwing out random takes at the start of each segment. Figgy Fig, give the people a random take.
All wine tastes the same.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Ooh. Figgy.
713-572-4610. Does all wine taste the same?
We already established last week that Landry was a rube. We don't need you to be a rube also.
That's a rube to the ultimate. But 713-572-4610, does all wine taste the same? NFL Hall of Famer John McClain normally joins us on Tuesdays. He is here on Thursdays, 14 days/2 weeks away from Texans training camp. And Adam Schefter put this out yesterday. National media types are running with it. The Houston Texans are not hiring a GM for the 2019 season. And instead, they're going to divvy up those responsibilities amongst existing front office members, such as Matt Bazergan, who we heard from earlier on in the show, James Lipfert, Chris Olsen, and Jack Easterby, but no GM in 2019 for the Houston Texans. You've had an inclination about this for a while, John McClain. Adam Schefter said it yesterday. Your thoughts on the current structure, and we're going to expand on this after we get your initial thoughts.
No inclination. Anybody listening to Sports Radio 610 for the last 5 weeks knows exactly what it is. The national people just figuring it out. And they're clueless, of course. And I think that you'll see Jack Easterby, as I've said, handle football operations for Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien will have control of personnel. Nothing will change on contracts or the administrative side. And we'll see how it works. I'm eager to see how the impact Easterby has on the organization based on everything I've heard and read and people I've talked to in New England who all swear by him and about how much Belichick liked him and trusted him and used him and how far he developed into the organization. And it's one of those things we might not know. We might not see it. Mm-hmm. He made a speech recently, and I think it was sponsors, and I talked to one of them, and the other one emailed me about, he didn't mention one-time religion. He talked about, it was kind of like they didn't use this analogy.
He made a speech to the sponsors. Elaborate on what kind of speech was this? Like, so
sponsors.
He just
met with sponsors.
So sponsors were there, and Mr. Easterby was making a speech.
He talked to them, and they said he blew them away with his attitude, his speech, his words, his charisma. But I hope we'll be able to talk to him. He's not the general manager, so it could be Bill O'Brien is going to be one voice. I don't know that yet. We won't know that yet till we get to training camp, which begins, they report on the 24th, and they start practice on the 25th. But I'm eager to see what Jack Easterby does here, because Josh McDaniels was taking him to Indianapolis with him for a bigger role, and then, of course, he backed out. And the Texans got him over Miami, Carolina, and other teams. And we'll see. We'll see changes that happen over time and what his role was, what maybe it's something O'Brien wanted to do, but I'm eager to see how it works out.
We've actually played some sound from Jack Easterby. He has five keys to being a champion, a speech that he made 6 years ago when he was at South Carolina, and I got lots of emails on his words, and this was just a little, 2 minute snippet that we played about that. I got a guy whose dad was in a coma and he wanted to play it for his dad. I got other people reaching out. His words are extremely powerful. I'm serious. And he said he wanted his dad to hear that. We might actually hear that at 11:40 since you just brought it up.
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, for sure. We'll hear that. We'll hear from Jack Easterby, who John McClain is excited about. I've said this multiple times on this show. John McClain joining us, NFL Hall of Famer, discussing the structure of the Texans front office that he's been talking about for a while here on Sports Radio 610. I don't know what Jack Easterby's going to do, but I do know this. I want that guy on my team. That's been my sales pitch here. I don't know if he's going to be a GM. I don't know if he's going to be a team chaplain. I don't know what he's going to do. But what I do know is that with the respect he has from Bill Belichick, the charisma he appears to have every time he picks up a microphone, the work ethic he appears to have, I don't know what he's going to do, but I want that guy on my squad.
Well, I can tell you what he's going to do. He's not going to be the team chaplain. They got a team chaplain. He's going to handle football operations for O'Brien. They'll work together. Could be a deal where Easterby comes in. He says, Bill, I think we ought to do this with this department. And O'Brien will say, okay, why? And then they'll run it by Cal McNair. And then O'Brien may say, okay, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be with strength and rehab. It could be with the training. It could be with medical. Could be with nutrition.
Okay.
Could be with budget. That falls under the football ops. That's usually under a general manager. And Easterby's not going to be doing anything without running it by O'Brien.
Just to be clear, it's not. It sounds a little bit random, I'm sure, to a lot of listeners. But just to be clear, and let's just give them a little bit of an idea of Jack Easterby. He was with the Patriots for 6 years. Before that, he was with South Carolina.
Before that, he was with Kansas City for a little bit.
And he was with South Carolina before that.
6 years, and 1 year with the Jaguars. He's 36 years old. But
Bill Belichick had him in meetings, is what I'm saying. It's not Belichick like he hasn't been around this.
Belichick had him in personnel meetings. He consulted with him on personnel. He went to practice. Sometime he would jump into practice with like Nick Caserio did. And I was surprised that he's only 36 years old.
I was too.
But then when I go back over his career in the timeline, he would have gotten out of college at 21. He was an athlete in college. And if anybody Googles his name, you'll see stories going back Kansas City and then many in New England about all the great things players and people say up there about him. And so that's why Texans people, fans, should be interested to see how it's going to work out and what his influence and impact will be on the front office.
All right, I got a couple questions on this. As you have said, and we had the audio of you saying it, we were double-checking before the show. Basically, this is not news for anyone in Houston,
no.
but it is news nationally, and there's been a variety of different reactions. So that's neither here nor there. They shouldn't care about that. But here are my two points, questions, or however you want to put it. So they're clearly waiting for Nick Caserio.
Maybe not. Maybe things go real well this year, and they won't go after Caserio. They'll keep the structure. Maybe next year they'll like what Easterby does. Name him as general manager, but it'll be like other teams. The head coach is all powerful.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's possible that Easterby could ultimately become general manager.
He could be if everything works out great.
All right. Now, here's the second point. The other thing that you've repeatedly said, and I agree with you, is that when I've asked about final say on these things with four guys making, you know, having an input, you've said Cal McNair makes the final decision.
If it's something big, he makes the final decision.
Who decides what to take to Cal McNair? You know what I mean?
If you can't agree on something, that's the way it always was with Bob McNair.
Right.
Bob, I used to have conversations with him, and it went back originally with Dom Capers and Charlie Casserly. He always told them. And the owner here, and Cal McNair has been right there for every decision that's ever been made.
Right.
By his dad, and his dad, Bob, used to talk to me all the time when he and I would have these conversations about how much he trusted Cal, and he ran things by Cal. Bob would make the final decision, of course. He never said what Cal and he disagreed or agreed on, but that how much he trusted him. And so in this case, he used to tell him, if you guys can't get it worked out, bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they don't, if it's a big decision, they want to know. They want to be informed. The McNairs were there every day. Bob was there unless he was playing golf somewhere around the country mm-hmm. or battling cancer. Cal, unless he's traveling with his family or the league meeting, he's there every day. And they want things, they want to be informed. Cal makes sure his mother's up to date.
Right.
You know, Janice went to the last two NFL meetings. And so if it's something, say, right now, say, okay, let's use an example. Mike Florio reported that Bill did not want to sign Clowney long-term and Gain did. Well, Gain could have, but they weren't going to pay him the money they wanted. And I used this as an example yesterday. If, say, Buzz Cook mm-hmm. all of a sudden called Chris Olsen, who does the contracts, and said, you know what? we've changed our mind. We'll take Trey Flowers' contract, $90 million.
Yeah.
Which is way below what he asked for. And Chris Olsen would say, wow, Buss, that's okay. And he would go back and he'd say, Bill, Jack, they want Trey Flowers' money, $90 million. I think this is a great deal. I think Bill's going to go, no, I don't want a deal that's great for us. Uh-uh. What he didn't want to do is pay him the kind of money he wants based on he's not a premier pass rusher. If he becomes a premier pass rusher and has a great year, he could be defensive player of the year. Then he's got a better chance of getting the big money next year. But right now, but say O'Brien said no. Then they go to Cal McNair, and Cal say, this is a great deal for us to have Clowney for 5 or 6 years for $90 million. Let's do it.
And then the last thing I wanted to point out or ask is they're putting together a roster, and they're going to be doing it all the way through training camp and during the season. Is that Bill O'Brien?
He has final say on all of it, and he'll Matt Bezerra.
So he's making the Bezerrigan, cuts and everything.
Matt Bezerra. He was involved in all that before. Bezerrigan or Bezerrigan?
Bezerrigan. Bezerrigan.
Matt Bezerrigan. I've got to get that right. Matt Bezerrigan, who's the head of personnel and has worked closely with O'Brien Gain, now will work closely with O'Brien Easterby, James Lipford, all Rob Kiesel, and those guys will be working closely. They'll all be involved, but yes, if it's Tuesday tryouts, they bring in guys. O'Brien's too busy on game plans every day. Say, okay.
That's what I was
tell me who all these tryouts are. The head coach here has never cared about who's trying out unless it was a position where they had to sign another player because of injuries, and they brought in, say, somebody notable who'd been hurt or is older or had been with another team. Then they wanted to know. But when it was the lesser guys, they bring them in, they try them out, and then they update their list on where they place them. And O'Brien has been involved in personnel from the get-go, and he's still going to be signing off on everything.
Mm-hmm. NFL Hall of Famer John
McClain
on a
Thursday. And it also depends, excuse
me,
Landry, how much he delegates.
Sure.
You know, you've got to delegate. A general manager has to delegate, a head coach, an owner, they all have to delegate. Anybody that tries to take on too much is not going to do well. And it's not, if O'Brien was a first-time head coach with this responsibility, you might think, okay, most head coaches try to do too much when they first get in there, and the ones that learn you have to delegate more are the ones that have a better chance of being successful. But I think that he would delegate more, and the first person he'll delegate to is Easterby, and then on personnel it will be Bezerra.
My question is this, NFL Hall of Famer John McClain here. How much has Bill O'Brien's role really changed in the big scheme of things? Because he got his way with Clowney, according to Florio, basically. So how much does his role really change?
Clowney. They would have signed him to a long thing. They made him offer.
But
if Bill O'Brien didn't want him, why'd they make him offer?
Well, this is because you have to make an offer. But you know what Clowney's market.
No, you don't have to make an offer. They wouldn't pay him what he wants as a premier pass rusher.
But they know what his price is. You know what
they
I'm saying?
They know what his price is, and they won't pay it.
Like, I could want to buy a Cadillac Escalade or something like that, and if I offer the guy on Craigslist $25,000, I know he's going to say no. We know what the market value is for Jadeveon Clowney. So,
like, what is the market value for Clowney?
The market value for Jadeveon Clowney is more than Flowers. It's up there with Lawrence. Like, if he were in the open market, I think Jadeveon Clowney's getting this $55, $60 up front. They know that.
You think that even though Lawrence averages double-figure sacks every year?
I think the TFLs that Clowney has, he's one of the four most impactful guys since he's come into the league. He's a great run player. Bill O'Brien has said many times to you when you're up there how much he values stopping the run. I think Bill O'Brien knows how valuable J.D. Clowney is. Now, I think he might wonder, is his best football ahead of him, and are we going to get the best of J.D. Clowney, or have we already seen it? I feel like that's the reservations, but they know what his market value is.
Well, there's
is,
also,
right?
John, there are programs for this that they use. What is the value of this player? You know, we've seen it online and other places. I'm sure they use it. So his value, I think they know.
They have their value. He has his value, and it's somewhere in between.
Well, according to you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, according to you, and then the Texans gave him a value, and Clowney's agent, Buzz Cook, gave him a value.
And it's somewhere in between.
Right.
Well, that's why he hadn't been
signed. You think it's somewhere in between. Buzz Cook thinks it's the value that he's offering.
Well, I mean, the real value is somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And they're not signing him because O'Brien said don't sign him, because if they came in and I offered a great deal that was not good for Clowney but good for the team, of course he'd do it.
So you're saying, based on everything you know, and you're in that building more than anybody, you're an NFL Hall of Famer, you've been covering the Texans since the very beginning, your resume speaks for itself, but you're saying, based on everything that you know in that building, the 9.5 sacks is what's holding the Texans up on giving Jadeveon Clowney the contract that he feels he deserves?
His average of sacks for the last 3 years does not merit. The outside guy's got to be big-time pass rusher.
Spot rack.
He's an outside guy. He needs to be a big-time pass rusher to get big-time money.
Spot rack is a website and data that a lot of teams and media members use. They have calculated his salary, his projected market value, and they've calculated it at $100 million 6 years. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, the market.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. It's not 90. I'm saying that's low.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to get 105. I don't think he's ever going to get more than Watt.
Right.
Do you think that if Clowney comes out here and smashes, and the example that I've used many times at nauseam has been Terrell Suggs in 2008. He was a two-time Pro Bowler. Ravens franchise tagged him. There was actually a dispute over whether he was a linebacker or a defensive end, very similar to Clowney. He came in 2008, second team All-Pro, first time he made an All-Pro team, got a six-year deal after that. He was a two-time All-Pro after that. He was a defensive player of the year. He was a Super Bowl champ. Is that the opportunity that Clowney has here, or do you think the Texans are basically just going to lease him like you would a car and then take him back to the lot? Do you really think that Jadeveon Clowney next year, if, say, he gets 14, 15 sacks, the Texans will then pay the man?
I think if he gets 14 or 15 sacks, they'll pay the man.
Okay.
And it'll cost him more than it costs now, like DeMarcus Lawrence played the franchise 1 year. He could play the franchise for 2 years, and then if they didn't want to do it, they'd trade him.
Perfect. Okay, so you heard it here. You heard it here. J.D. Clowney, 14, 15 sacks, pay the man, according to NFL Hall of Famer John McClain.
He'd have to get that many. He'd just have to be a dominant pass rusher. Okay,
there we go. So J.D. Clowney, you heard it here first. Get ready for the season. Come out here and get after the quarterback. Landry Locker, John Lopez, joined by NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. Let's talk about J.D. Clowney and the expectations he had when the Texans selected him number one overall. Has he reached those expectations? And we're going to have John McClain go back in time and look at number one overall picks throughout the history of the NFL and talk about if they reached him as well. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.